فسلام سيدي.
التحيات. The magnitude of the sacrifices.
حجم الإنجازات.
Number two, the achievements which were made.
حجم الاستهداف.
And number three, the targeting of this resistance which has sacrificed and which has made achievements. Number four, the hopes, all of the hopes which are pinned on this resistance. Regarding the first main theme,
بطبيعة الحال
of course,
ليس هناك في تاريخ البشرية مقاومة بدون تضحية.
Throughout the history of humanity, there is no resistance which is sacrifice. When people decide to retrieve their occupied territory and their dignity via efforts and via resistance, they must hence sacrifice.
تضحيات المقاومة
the sacrifices of the resistance in Lebanon were big sacrifices, great sacrifices.
عندما اتحدث هنا
عن great value. When I speak about sacrifices here, I speak about all of the members of resistance, all groups, not just Hezbollah. I speak about all the resistance groups which participated in this resistance from the very beginning. I speak about the sacrifices of the Lebanese army, the Lebanese security services, the sacrifices of the great sacrifices given by the Lebanese people. Especially the women, the children, and the innocent civilians in Lebanon. When we speak about sacrifices, this means we speak about tens of thousands of martyrs, tens of thousands of people who were wounded, thousands of Lebanese youngsters, men and women, who have been imprisoned, tens of thousands of housing units which were destroyed during the years of occupation and war. What happened to the property of the people, their farms? What happened to the Lebanese economy? Our goal, when we speak about sacrifices, our goal is always to remind ourselves that what we have gained, the victories we achieved, the achievements we made, didn't come for free. They came as a result of these great sacrifices. And this makes us more intent on holding on to the achievement, on holding on to the victory, and not losing this victory, because the price of this victory was this great blood, this beloved blood, and also to know the value of those who did sacrifices. And for this reason, we always stress in our Lebanese community and in all societies, we always stress that there must be a special place for the families of the martyrs, the wounded, the freed prisoners, the prisoners who are still in prison, the people who stood with perseverance, the people who supported, those who put up with the repercussions of this confrontation and the resistance. And we respect these sacrifices, and we respect those who sacrificed. And so the first main issue, and I'm being as brief as possible, the first main issue is that when it comes to the resistance in Lebanon and the resistance anywhere in Palestine, in Iraq, anywhere, in light of the sacrifices, we must appreciate these sacrifices, we must respect them, and these sacrifices must lay the foundation or must bring about responsibilities, put responsibility on our shoulders. We carry responsibility because of these sacrifices. Second of all, the magnitude of the achievements. In brief, this resistance from the very beginning, with all of its groups, with all of its efforts, with all of its forces, all components of the resistance, I would like to remind you once again, the resistance, the army, the people, this resistance was able to make achievements, great achievements, and achieve great victories on the national level. It liberated the Lebanese territories without any preconditions. The enemy left and withdrew, humiliated and defeated in May 2000, except with the exception of some Lebanese territories, the Shabah Farms, the Kashuba Hills, and the Ghajar, the Lebanese part of the Ghajar village. However, most of the Lebanese territories have been retrieved, the liberation of the prisoners, except for some cases which we must follow up, because there is an argument between us and the Israelis. We say that they are alive, the Israelis say that the remaining prisoners have died. And so there is a problem regarding their bodies. However, this file is still open. But in general, liberating the prisoners, what is clear, what is sure, what is something which is not subject to debate, is that most of them were liberated. Our water was liberated from the Israeli greed in the Wazani part, the Wazani River. Now, if Lebanon is not taking advantage of its water, this is a Lebanese problem which has nothing to do with the conflict with the Israeli enemy. the victory and the perseverance which we saw in the July 2006 war and the repercussions of this victory on the Israeli entity itself and on the Arab-Israeli conflict in general. This is another achievement of the resistance, and so there is a regional side to the achievements of the resistance when it comes to Palestine and the Arab cause in general. One of the other achievements of the resistance, one of the great achievements, is protecting the country, deterring the Israeli enemy from assaulting Lebanon before the July 2006 war and after it until today. Although we all know that the Israelis do have greed, they want to take control of our territories and of our water. And last of all, we refer to the oil, the issue of the oil or energy reserves, which need the protection. Not only we don't only need to protect the oil reserves in the economic zone, which is said to be a subject of disagreement between Lebanon and the Israeli entity, and also the oil reserves in the area where it's known to be Lebanese territorial waters, even the waters where Israel confesses they are Lebanese waters. If the companies come who want to drill and work on extracting the oil in the Lebanese economic zone, in the beach or in the sea, these companies, they need protection as well. How do we protect them? Do we protect them via the Security Council or via international resolutions or with our own strength? These are great achievements which were made. And in the end, Lebanon, which was always outside any calculation, Lebanon now is clearly present, strongly present in the regional equation. There cannot be any solution, there cannot be any settlement in the region on the account of Lebanon without taking into consideration Lebanon's interests, because this is what used to happen before. This is the second main issue. If I'm brief like this, I don't think I'll take too long. Now, the third main issue is how much the resistance is targeted. Now, here I'd like to say a few words. My sisters, please know that Israel, the Israelis from day one, together with the Americans and all those who are partners with Israel in this project or plot, they did everything they could, and in the future they will do anything they can. There is nothing which deters them, no legal perspective, no law, no humanitarian perspective which stops them from targeting the resistance. The resistance, its only guilt, its only crime is that it fought for the sake of liberating its territories, retrieving its sovereignty and dignity, and liberating the prisoners, and maintaining or preserving the national energies, and requesting or demanding its rights. This is what the resistance is guilty of, and for this reason it's being targeted, because it's an element of strength, of honor, because it's an element which enables Lebanon and other sides to stand on its own two feet and preserve its rights or demand its rights. This happened in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Iraq, and everywhere, the targeting of these resistance groups. Now, when we speak about targeting the resistance, we begin by targeting leaders of the resistance, Sayyid Abbas Musawi, Sheikh Raghib Harb. Many leaders of resistance were assassinated over the past few years. The arrests and the imprisonment, also trying to cut off financing, the psychological war, the continuing threats against Lebanon, the threats against Lebanon's state, its infrastructure, its people, its army, the resistance, the military war. This resistance in Lebanon, at least, it waged or it fought three wars: July 1993, April 1996, July 2006, and the aim of the military wars was to crush the resistance and destroy it, and all of these wars failed. There were other attempts to isolate the resistance politically, nationally, and internationally, and all of these plots failed. Even the assassinations of the leaders of resistance backfired. They, on the contrary, they gave resistance more strength, increased their morale, boosted their morale, gave resistance a sense of understanding, and that this is a road which we cannot abandon after we left behind us this high number of martyrs. In the end, we come to what has begun from day one and is continuing until today, which is tarnishing the image of resistance, tarnishing the reputation of resistance, and misleading the popular opinion or the public opinion towards the resistance and its aims and its credibility. However, what is going on today, what has been going on recently, and this is what I want to focus on, is worse than tarnishing the image, because in their attempt to tarnish the image, they failed. I'd like to tell you, they failed. All the opinion polls tell us that they failed. Opinion polls in Lebanon, in the Arab world, in the Islamic world. Until today, this resistance still has great respect, big, big respect in Lebanon and in the Ummah. However, what is going on now is worse than the attempt to tarnish the image, this attempt which has failed. And millions of dollars were spent and hundreds of millions of dollars were spent to tarnish this image. Now, what is going on is to try and destroy the humanitarian perspective in Lebanon, the human blending in Lebanon, the human coexistence. And they are trying to lay the foundations for sectarian divisions and sectarian strife and civil wars. In the end, they hope that this will drag the resistance into internal sectarian strife, internal civil wars, and hence they aim to strike the resistance and strike its credibility. This is what is going on now. And I will give witness, I will give testimonies to this, because we are all concerned to confronting this. And now, what I call this, I don't want to call it tarnishing the image of resistance, I want to call it targeting the resistance via striking the human coexistence, human sectarian coexistence in Lebanon, people's coexistence in Lebanon. Can we confront this? Yes. Just like we confronted all other plots, we can confront this. We confronted all other conspiracies and we overcame them, and we can also overcome and defeat this plot. And I will speak about this point. This is a very important issue, a challenge which we can meet and defeat with responsibility, and I'll speak about it in a few moments. What do I mean when I say destroying the social fabric to make civil wars? So we don't hide behind our own fingers. We all know that Lebanon is a country of sectarian sects or religious sects. It is managed by sectarian sects. This is how it is. This is the structure. Now, with the relations between the different religious sects or the different religious leaders, they are good relations, healthy ties, and as long as they are healthy ties, this will lead to more cooperation and more development and more growth, and this will enable Lebanon to overcome all the dangers and challenges. Now, if the relations and the ties between the different religious sects, if these ties are tense, and if there is enmity between the religious sects, and if there is a language of enmity in this country, nothing good will happen if the ties between religious sects are tense and if we have enmity. On the contrary, those people who are responsible for this deterioration or these bad ties, they put Lebanon on the road to being teared apart. This is the reality in Lebanon. In other countries, it might not be so. However, the structure in Lebanon is as such. And everything in Lebanon always takes a sectarian angle. Even the political confrontations take a sectarian angle. Today, if somebody wants to buy a property to build a school, they speak about the sectarian angle. Any security incident also is spoken about from the sectarian perspective. So what they're working on now is to destroy the ties between the Lebanese religious sects and to reach the most tense relations, to create the highest level of enmity. And hence, there will be no more room left for any cohesion or dialogue or cooperation or any understanding to reach a solution on internal or regional issues. In the end, what will happen is that the whole country would explode. That is the aim, ending this country. And the main target here is the resistance which is being supported by the majority of the Lebanese. Now, if we speak about how to translate this idea which I just explained, now, without hiding behind ourselves, I want to be very transparent. How are some people acting today? some sides inside Lebanon and outside, some are saying that the resistance forces now, they belong to the Shia sect in Lebanon because of the geographical reality, because they are on the border and in clear direct confrontation with Israel. However, most of the Lebanese support this resistance regardless of their religious affiliation, because they view that the resistance is a national cause and a national responsibility and a national stance or position. What do they want to do? They want to focus their efforts. Now, the relations between the Christians and the Sunnis, how can they make them deteriorated, the Christians and Druze between the Christians? They are working on all of this. However, they are focusing a lot, especially on destroying everything which is linked to the relations between Sunnis and Shiites, between Shia and Christians, and between Shia and Druze. They are working on this, destroying the ties between these sects. This is not only related to tarnishing the image, but destroying the social fabric, taking away any chance of communication, creating enmity as a prelude to all-out chaos in the country. This is what they're working on via their media, via their politics, via their accusations, via their fabrications. And I won't now make testimonies or quotes from 2, 3, or 4 years ago. I will quote some people who made some statements just a few weeks ago. And this shows the mindset which they are working with. However, I want to begin with mentioning the witnesses. Regarding the indictment, of course, we spoke a lot previously and we said that the International Tribunal is working in this way. The Tribunal focused on one assumption. It rejected to work on any other assumption, although there were other pieces of evidence, other circumstantial evidence, which could enable pointing the finger at Israel. But regardless, they focused on one assumption only and didn't take the Israeli assumption into consideration. And previously, they also accused 4 of the honorable resistance fighters. And today, they published, this might be the complete indictment or the bigger part of the indictment against the resistance fighters. I personally, I was discussing this with my colleagues before, and I said if they are smart, they won't publish the indictment. They won't publish the contents of this indictment. They might delay it until the trial in absentia, and they might play around 2, 3, 4, 5 months, God knows. However, God willing, for our sake, I hope they publish the indictment sooner. Why? Because when this indictment is made public, it's good. Let the people see. Let them discover. Let the people see that this indictment, this big project, which is being worked on internationally and also in the Arab world and locally, what is it based on? Where is the objectivity? Where is the technical neutrality in it? And I advise everyone, those experts, and I advise the people in general, although the contents is 45 pages, if they read all of this indictment, it's very good, because it's a very important matter. Although I would like to assure you that the side which I am speaking to, they have begun from today and they will begin with a campaign. They have begun to speak about the objectivity of this indictment and what it was based upon. They said it's solid evidence, unquestionable evidence, and this is something which the indictment itself doesn't say. And I would like to assure you that the majority of those who will say this haven't even read and won't read the indictment, because they won't read an indictment of 45 pages. But this indictment is being written and published in their name. That is what is going on in Lebanon. When we look at 20 or 30 stances, of course, not everyone wrote their stance. Their stances were written, and then the stances were made in their names. This is what was published today. This is my comment. I'd like to tell you that what was published stresses and assures that what we said over the past few months is right. It proves that what we said was right over the past few years and past few months when we said that this investigation is not transparent and is not professional. This investigation has been leaked and derailed. This investigation was leaked to Der Spiegel and to Israeli newspapers and Arab newspapers and foreign newspapers, and the CBC Canadian television also published the contents of this indictment. Very simply, I call on all of the Lebanese and the non-Lebanese, let them bring the Der Spiegel article, let them look at the CBC report and compare it to the indictment and look at the great similarity in the contents. Of course, they tried to hide a few telephone numbers, a few things, in order to say, no, it's not all leaked, but this is it. So everything we said about the leaks, and when Belmar used to deny, and the tribunal said that we deny, and that nobody has information about the investigation and the indictment, and the investigation is secret, it has been proven today that these are all lies. And this is a proof. The publishing of the indictment is proof that this is all lies. Compare all of these reports which were leaked to the newspapers, the CBC, the Yadayot Ahronot, the Der Spiegel, and compare it to the indictment and see the similarity. And this shows that the investigation and the indictment was not secret at all. This was all on the headlines in the newspapers, even in the year 2006, not in the year 2010. Number one. Number two, when we read the indictment, there is no clear-cut evidence, no direct evidence. Number three, the only thing which the indictment bases its accusations on is the issue of communications, telephones. In the telephone, it speaks about times. They don't say this is the telephone number in the network. They say this is the telephone number, and this telephone number is at the same time whereby this phone number was with another person. They depend, and this needs more explanation, they depend totally on the issue of telecommunications in their accusations, and some analysis and some conclusions which have no judicial meaning. And so what does it say? It repeats the term, we can conclude in a reasonable manner, or because there were members of Hezbollah in the 1980s who carried out such operations, they could carry out such an operation now. What kind of evidence is this? Anyway, when it comes to telecommunications, I have two arguments. The first one is that we, last year, and officially and unofficially, and with the assistance of experts and also with those who were arrested, the Israeli spies who were arrested after interrogating them, we presented and we showed how much Israel has control of the telecommunications sector in Lebanon, and we showed how the Israelis have technical ability, and even other countries have the ability to play around with the data, to change calls, to even invent telephone calls, and to use numbers of certain people without these people knowing. This has been proven technically, and this is enough to question the credibility of the telecommunications which the indictment or which the tribunal bases its indictment on. And if we forget this, if we forget the issue of Israelis and changing data and inventing numbers and two people being at the same time, what was mentioned is not enough to be evidence, what was mentioned in the indictment. This is not evidence. This is even the opinion of high-ranking judges, judicial sources, and experts. Anyway, this indictment which we have in front of us, which is based on conclusions and analysis and not direct evidence, and is based on circumstantial evidence, which has a questionable credibility, my dear brothers and sisters, and to all the people who are listening to me, all of this increases our conviction that what is going on is injustice and politicization and accusations, and these honorable resistance fighters must not be described as people who are accused. They are people who are subject to injustice. That's what they are. Anyway, I will now continue with my speech after commenting on this indictment. The indictment which was published today needs a more deep reading, a deeper analysis, and this is what my brothers in Hezbollah will do. They will study it more in a deeper way, and we will have more stances and comments on this indictment, God willing, soon. Now, I'll go back to my speech regarding the other issues. Now, today, just as the names of the four Hezbollah members were leaked on the day where the Mikati government was going to given a vote of confidence, it's very clear that efforts are being made, efforts which began in 2006, August 2006, after the end of the war, efforts which are continuing until today to destroy the ties, national ties, especially between the Sunni and the Shia. And to say, now they're not just speaking about the martyr Rafiq Hariri, they're speaking about tens of martyrs, hundreds of people who were wounded, and hundreds of people who faced problems or whose lives were disrupted. This is regarding the Sunnis and the Shias. Now, lately, they tried to expand the indictment and relate all the assassinations. They said that the assassination of George Howe, who is a supporter of resistance, they said that this assassination was also part of the indictment in the Hariri case, but at the same time, we all know that the primary beneficiary and the side which has the biggest interest against George Howe is Israel, because George Howe was a supporter of resistance and so was his political party. Now, on the level of the rest of the religious sects, they are working on the same, in the same direction. And here I will give you examples. They are small examples, but if I gather them together, they will be shown to be a lot of examples. First of all, the explosion in Antalyaas in northern Beirut, a simple incident, two young people, they had a disagreement over money. It hasn't been proven that one of them wanted to throw a grenade against the other. Maybe one was threatening the other, we don't know. The grenade exploded and these two people died. Now, the bodies were still laying there on the ground. Let's speak about their mentality now. The bodies were still on the ground. The media outlets went to the place of the explosion. We saw the March 14 media, and we saw figures from March 14. Before the security services conducted their investigation, before anyone knew what was going on, quickly they jumped to the conclusion and said that these two people were planting a bomb in Antalyaas. And what did they say? They said they are trying to target the security of a Christian areas. When they knew the names of the two young people, when they knew which religious sect they belonged to, Shia, they quickly jumped to this conclusion. The aim was to plant a bomb to target the security of the Christian suburbs. Can you tell me such a language, which is not simple language, which is not language for one person? These were statements. Television outlets spoke in this way. For days, internet, websites use this language. What is the aim of such a language? And some people said very frankly, they said Hezbollah is responsible. They said Hezbollah sent these two youngsters to plant a bomb to target the security of the Christian areas. And then they came and linked this to all of the explosions which took place in, between brackets, the Christian suburbs, Christian areas. But we must know that in the explosion of Ain Alaq, we know who was responsible for that, and he was arrested and tried. But no, they say all of these explosions are the responsibility of them, of the Shia, meaning you Christians, look, the Shia are targeting the security of your areas, they are targeting the security of your men, your women, your economy, your tourism, etc. They didn't even stop. For 3 and 4 days, they launched this campaign regarding this bomb, this explosion, and they never stopped and said, okay, it's summer, we have tourism, and people might fear going there. But those who don't benefit, those who are really harmed by such a language, are the March 14, because that's their areas. Via speaking in this way, in such a way of conspiracy, they are the ones who are harmed first and foremost. It's against their interests. From day one, we gained information, and after contacts with the Lebanese judiciary and Lebanese security, we got information that the whole issue is a disagreement between these two youngsters about money. However, we said, wait until the official investigation, wait until the judicial verdict. They didn't behave in this way. With March 14, they don't believe in investigations or waiting or really looking for the truth. They focus on preemptive accusations and preemptive judgments. Preemptive judgments, preemptive verdicts. They wait for anything to comment on and to make accusations. I want to make another example regarding the Christian issue before I go to the issue of the Druze. When it comes to Lhasa, a village in eastern Lebanon, in March 14, the March 14 figures, when they spoke about Lhasa, it's as if they're speaking about the Holy Church in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. What is there in Lhasa? Lhasa is a small village in the city of Byblos, and there is a disagreement over property between the people of Lhasa and the Patriarch or the Maronite Christian Church. Now, this disagreement, they quickly exaggerated this matter. They targeted, they worked on this issue to 1 or 2 weeks. This complicates the matter and doesn't make a solution easy. And they accused Hezbollah, and they expanded by accusing the Shia, and they said that the Shia in Byblos are occupying the territories of the Christians. This was a language which March 14 used. However, regarding Lhasa, I swear to God, I didn't even know what was going on before they spoke about this, before they mentioned this issue of Lhasa. I asked my colleagues in Hezbollah, explain to me, what's this issue in Lhasa? This issue of Lhasa is 70 or 80 years old, before I was born and before my father was born even. Before all those who are in Hezbollah now were born, before the people in the Amal movement were born, before the people in the Higher Shia Council were born, this is an old issue regarding a disagreement on property. It has been worked on legally and the judicially as well. They were working on it. But at this political moment, they spoke about it and they said, oh, you Christians in Lebanon, you are targeted. Quickly gather yourselves. What's the issue? It's Lhasa. Now let's speak about the Druze religious sect. This is even more funny. It's a funnier story. A few days ago, and you know, I'd like to speak very in a frank way. Our colleagues in the Progressive Socialist Party called us, and they said there is a certain environment in the mountains, Mount Lebanon. People are in a state of fear. People want weapons. I asked why. Why do they want weapons? They said, Hezbollah, there is a certain area near Alay, a high area, strategic area to some extent. They said Hezbollah is over there, has occupied that area. And then the March 14 websites and some newspapers, they began to say, what did they say? They said that launching pads had been planted in the area, and the aim was to send a message to Walid Jumblat and the Progressive Socialist Party. They created a very, very negative, bad atmosphere. When they informed me, I started to laugh. I said, what are you talking about? In Alay, who told you that we had planted launching pads and weapons in Alay? Okay, no problem. We want to search for the truth. A member of Hezbollah and a member of a Progressive Socialist Party went to this area, and we asked, who brought these weapons? Who brought these launching pads here? The whole story was related to the head of the municipality in Alay, who is a supporter of the Progressive Socialist Party. The municipality, together with people, they had put some equipment there, which is related to the municipality itself. It has nothing to do with security or military. It has nothing to do with Hezbollah nor with the Shia from any perspective whatsoever. For 4 or 5 days, they began to send security messages, political messages. They tried to target the alliances to put pressure. Who benefits? Even if we speak about the security of the people, psychological status of the people, who benefits from this? Who is creating this state of anxiety for the people? Isn't this media, this preemptive judgment? That's what's causing the problems for the people. Even economically, isn't Alay a tourist area? Or is it southern Beirut? Who is being harmed when it comes to tourism and economics? However, when this team, when March 14 works on this, it doesn't take into consideration tourism, nor economy, nor the people, and their anxiety and their concern. Allow the people to live a few days of calm, but they don't want to. The incident, the real incident, they speak about it in a false way, and the unreal incident they portray it as being a real incident and base analysis on it. If I give you more examples, I will take even longer. However, what I wanted to say is that this mindset and such a rhetoric, this is the same rhetoric which we saw on February 14, 2005. At that time, we saw the body of the martyr Rafiq Hariri being transported to the hospital. And at that time, they began to make their judgments, the preemptive judgments, Syria and its allies in Lebanon and the four generals and the security services, and injustice was made against people and they were imprisoned. From the first hour, they didn't wait for the investigation, nor did they wait for the judiciary, nor did they wait for the trial. And what is going on in Lebanon now? Here, I want to also make you laugh even more. I said we must visit every single house in southern Beirut and find some way to stop gas cannons from exploding. Because even when a gas cannon explodes, a gas canton explodes, sorry, they blame us. We were obliged to defend before and say it was a gas canton which exploded. They say one person was martyred. The son of this Hezbollah leader was killed. And the Israelis agree with them. Is it possible that the son of a Hezbollah leader or a Hezbollah leader could be martyred and we would hide it? Do we hide our martyrs? Is that possible? But no. What do we say? They stick to their opinion, no matter what. Now the issue is no joke. There is a certain political camp in Lebanon which is linked to a big project which failed in every aspect. You might ask, is it possible that they do this? They did more. In July 2006, they gave advice to the Israelis. They gave requests to the Israelis, and they made conditions to stop the war to serve Israeli interests. Allow me, with all of the jokes I made, let me use the following term. These faces, the black faces, the black desperate faces, which we saw in the 14th of August 2006, can do even more than this, can go even further. This is their mindset. On the other hand, this is our country, and they are our people, and all of these sects are our fellow countrymen, Druze, Sunnis, Shia, Christians. We are people who want to live together, to solve our problems together, and if we don't cooperate, if we don't unite, if we don't love one another and don't hold alliances, how do we build our country? How do we solve our problems? So this is something we must confront. We confront it with vigilance and with solidarity. I call on the Lebanese also not to accept everything which you see on the media. Don't reject it, but question it. Look for the truth. Verify the truth and pay attention to the targeting of the nation in general. Be patient. Do not go too far in your enthusiasm. Don't make preemptive judgments. And in this way, we can overcome the current period, this stage. I personally am optimistic because until today, we were able to overcome all the previous plots. And this is because of the presence of national, honest leaders. Leaders from all different religious sects, they are the ones who provide a guarantee to prevent this social fabric from being torn apart. They are the ones who guarantee Lebanon not being destroyed. They are the ones who guarantee that Lebanon won't go towards sectarian strife. And because of the presence of high-ranking political intellectuals and religious intellectuals and honest people, because of these people who contribute to this battle of vigilance and confronting this conspiracy, because of them, we can be successful. In addition, we have another guarantee, which is the vigilance of the resistance and the realization. The resistance realizes that it is targeted, and so are the Lebanese people. And because the resistance is targeted, this makes the resistance be very cautious in dealing with all of these issues. For this reason, you find that all of the political debates, we don't go into these political debates. We don't comment on many accusations. There are some magazines and newspapers and television outlets, if you want to respond to their lies, we might seek the assistance of 200 or 300 brothers and sisters to help us. We don't want to be dragged into this confrontation because we know where the targeting is. So via vigilance we can confront this plot to end this era and go to our aspirations and hopes. In the end, I would like to assure you and to assure all the Lebanese people, and I'd like to assure all those who are faithful, who believe in the resistance in the Arab and Islamic world, I'd like to assure all of you that these pressures and conspiracies and lies, all of this won't be able to touch and harm one little bit the determination and the will of resistance in Lebanon. And I'd like to stress to you as well, regarding my hopes and aspirations to the future, I'd like to assure you that this resistance will remain strong. It will remain capable of protecting Lebanon and protecting Lebanon's people. It will remain capable of protecting Lebanon's dignity and Lebanon's sovereignty and protecting Lebanon's resources, its water resources and its energy resources within the equation or in accordance with the equation, the Lebanese army, resistance and people. I'd like to assure you that this resistance will always be intent on protecting Lebanon and protecting all of Lebanon's people. It will always be keen on preserving Lebanon's national unity and its civil peace. It will always be intent on preserving Lebanon's coexistence and its strength and its cohesion, and all of the conspiracies to destroy Lebanon and create chaos in Lebanon and bring about sectarian strife and civil wars in Lebanon. All of these plots will go with the wind. I'd like to assure you that your resistance, which you support and which you believe in, this resistance will be higher, will be bigger, will rise above the strife and above the injustice and above the accusations. And we have a great capability of putting up with the problems. This is our strength. Our strength is that we are not provoked easily. Our strength is that we cannot be dragged into confrontations easily. Our strength is that it is not easy to nail our will. Our strength is that our morale is high to the sky, and nobody can touch our morale. Nobody on earth can touch this morale. And whoever depends on Allah, Allah will help him. And in the end, I'd like to tell you, as this resistance, my dear sisters, in all of those who are participating in the iftar, as this resistance will always rise to your expectations, it will remain, it will rise to your expectations in the future. It is proud of your support, and you will be proud of its victories and its credibility, God willing. I thank all of the sisters in the Association of Support for the Resistance. I thank all of those people who took charge, who organized this iftar. I thank all of you for being present, and I pray to God that all of your days and all of your years and all of your anniversaries will be good and blessed and full of happiness and happy anniversary to the resistance and to Lebanon. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the third Secretary General of Hezbollah, discussing the U.S.-backed UN Tribunal for Rafiq Hariri, the assassination of Rafiq Hariri, which occurred on February 14th, 2005. Just a brief on a couple of points that was said. The main theme of the speech was the Lebanese people and their sacrifice of the martyrs, the innocent women and children that were martyred, value of those that sacrificed their perseverance for this cause, defending Lebanon from Israel because Israel is always wanting to take their territory. Discuss the oil reserves on Lebanese waters and that if on Lebanese economic zones, how to protect these companies. He said tarnishing image that they have done to fail by opinion polls in both Arab world and the Islamic world. The aid of military wars to crush the resistance nationally and internationally was a couple of the points that was discussed. Strike the credibility of resistance, which was another main theme that Hassan Nasrallah said, destroy human aspect in Lebanon with sectarian division and civil wars. Now, the religious sects between bringing opposition between the Shiites and the Sunnis in Lebanon and the indictment on the telecommunication network and not enough evidence that it was controlled by Israel on the situation. And a couple of other points that was discussed is its injustice on the indictments. Now, the efforts on August 2006, end of the war till today, they're trying to destroy the ties between Shiite and Sunnis in Lebanon. Now, another thing that was discussed was the assassination of George Howie was part of the indictment in the Hariri case that they tried to use in the Hariri case, which is only a benefit to Israel, as he mentioned. Now, in Alai, launching pads, they said that Hezbollah was having launching pads and Shiites were responsible for that, but that is not true. These were preemptive ideas. And was mentioned was also confront the plots with solidarity as a direct